Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are seven I am statements in the gospel according to John. John likes using groups of seven. In Revelation, you've got the letters to the seven churches. You've got seven seals and seven trumpets and seven censers. The gospel can be aligned around seven signs. John uses that word signs where the other gospels would use miracles or works of power. Another group of seven is these I am statements. When you pay attention to the sevens, I think you get an idea of what is different about John as an author. He's circular. He ponders something, then he moves on, and then he comes back to it. And then he layers those things together. Those sevens might be a little like a round. One side goes, row, row, row your boat. And then the next group comes in. And then the next. And everyone is singing the same lines. But it's the interactions between them that make the experience something more. And sometimes within one of those sayings, Jesus will repeat it a second or a third or a fourth time. And each repetition layers on top of the other. For example, in John 6, Jesus says roughly four times, I am the bread of life. And each time, he adds something or moves what he's talking about just slightly. In our gospel text today, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, twice. And after each statement, he enlarges or fills out what he means by that. It's worth considering each one of them by its own and then kind of comparing. After the first, I am the good shepherd, the central comparison is between the owner and the hired hand. I think that comparison is rather straightforward and something we could all relate to. If we own something, even more if that thing that we own is somehow related and entwined with our living and our identity, we care a whole lot more about that object. Try borrowing the tools of a professional mechanic. Try borrowing the books of a scholar. Try borrowing the children of parents. They might let them out, but certainly not the strangers. And there will probably be all kinds of restrictions and taking care and angst about these things. Because these are the things of life and death to them. The comparison is to the hired man. And it's not that the hired man might not be solid. The hired man might be completely conscientious. But if a situation rises to life and death, you can't expect the hired man to risk his life. No reasonable person would expect that person to risk their life. It's the owner's responsibility, either to provide the safety of a fenced-in area or overwhelming firepower, like a shotgun, if you expect the hired man to stay with the sheep in the face of wolves. But the point of this comparison isn't to talk about what that hired man lacks. The hired man cares nothing for the sheep. true. He cares about the money that he's being paid to do a job. And he's going to do a job to the level expected by the contract. But the point of the comparison is what God, is what Jesus is like towards us. He created us. He owns us. And he acts towards us like that owner. Our welfare is meaningful to God's identity. Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. When things rise to life and death, God will remain. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That first time through is about who God is and how he acts towards us. Our welfare is life and death to God. The second time through, the emphasis moves slightly. The good shepherd still lays down his life, but the point here, I think, is one of mission and purpose. I know my own, and my own know me. This is not a God who is an absentee owner or a passive investor or some kind of hands-off person. I know my own, and my own know me. This is a God who both knows and allows himself to be known. And I think under that idea of a God who knows, our reading gives us some specific ways for things that God knows. He knows what it's like to be weak and mortal. I lay down my life. He knows what it's like to be under authority. This charge I have received from my Father. He knows what it's like to be lost. I have other sheep not of this fold. I must bring them. The Good Shepherd is one who can completely understand the sheep. And we have such a Good Shepherd in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The creator and owner of the sheep willingly took on the life of a sheep. I know my own. But maybe even more importantly, my own know me. In Jesus, we have a God who has revealed himself. No longer the unseen God Almighty in pillars of cloud and fire. No longer the God of power and might who with a mighty arm sends plagues and destruction. Not an unspeaking idol who nevertheless demands sacrifice. Not even the eternal mystery of Job's whirlwind. Who refuses answers? Who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? The hidden God in all of his forms that we can so often bang ourselves against. What Jesus says is, my own know me. Jesus came to perfectly reveal the Father. In Jesus, We see the heart of the Father for His creation, for all the sheep of His sheepfold. He would not see the sinner die. He would not see His creation remain broken and lost. I must bring them, and they will listen to my voice. In word and deed, in suffering, death, and resurrection, God has made Himself known to us. He holds out His hands and His side, allowing us to see the wounds of God, to touch, and to know His love. I know my own, and my own know me. That good shepherd is one of purpose, that we might know and be known. And the method of that knowing and being known is that mission. They will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Another of those seven I am sayings is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came not as a way. He isn't just one God amongst many. He didn't come to establish one hill that among many other hills people could climb up and ascend to God. Like the Samaritan woman contrasting Mount Zion with Mount Gerizim, or any of the other mountains that are held up today. Jesus came that we might know the voice of God, and His sheep will listen to His voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The good shepherd has walked and cleared the way that we all must go. Should we walk past death? And this good shepherd deals with life and death situations. He's not a hired man, because that's the charge that Jesus received from His Father. And that's what He has made known to us. And the sheep hear His voice. We are known and we know. We have a shepherd who has walked the path we go. That doesn't change the reality. We walk in the midst of wolves. The devil would be glad to convince you that you don't know God. Did He really say those things? Is that really the voice of God calling? The world would just love to scare you away from that narrow path. Just be the hired man for this life. Take the money and run. That path is way too tough. Take what you can get now. If God is so good, He won't do anything later. Join this other flock. The sinners are much more fun. And even our own flesh might simply fear being known by God. There's no way I'm sharing my scars, and we all get scattered. But the good shepherd calls, and the sheep hear His voice. Because it's about life and death. The hired men are long gone. Because it's not about temporal life. It's about eternal life. These wolves are not the momentary afflictions of the material world. These are the ones who want to destroy body and soul. The Good Shepherd is here not to give you some temporal good fortune, but the Good Shepherd is here to make sure you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Good Shepherd is here to claim his own for that one flock of eternal life. Amen.